Hi there. I'm Eric Word Weaver Shervin, go thee of the Ridgar folk here in East Texas, and I would like to welcome you to The Raven's Call. This is a show where I ramble on about different heathen-related subjects, just kind of whatever strikes my fancy, sets my mind on fire at the time. Big UPG warning at the beginning of the episode, like always. This is just my view of heathenry and my view of the world. People seem to enjoy it and find some value in what I put out there, so I continue to do so. And you guys have given me some fantastic feedback, and I greatly appreciate it. I cannot tell you how much it means to me when I get people write in telling me that, you know, it's helped them along their path, especially newbie heathens. Back when I first started out building in the East Texas area, my buddy Mike and I did a lot of work with the local meetups and everything like that, and I'm trying to ramp back up to that. So those of you that are in the area, stay tuned. There's some good stuff coming down the pike, and hopefully we'll be having some park moots again here real soon. As you guys have followed the channel know, I've had some wild and wonky stuff with work and everything, and I'm finally getting to a point where I think I can actually handle taking on scheduling some meetups and things like that. So I'm excited about it and looking forward to it. But you know, one of the things that Mike and I talked about back in the day was growing heathenry and helping people kind of find it, especially since for the past several decades there hasn't been some accessible information, at least nothing that people could rely on or could feel fairly confident about. And so that's basically why the YouTube channel came into being, was to, you know, kind of help fill this niche a little bit and encourage other people to get out and do the same. There's so much that we pass down orally and so much that's done by example and through interaction that it's difficult to just get from a book. You can read books all day long, but you don't really get heathenry until you get out and start doing heathenry. So it's a thing. So that's hence why the channel exists in the first place. And for those of you that are following me on Spotify or any of the other audio podcast versions, work situation and just general energy level as a result of it all is what has largely led to a lapse in that. I am going to get those episodes caught back up. I'm going to sit down and do some transferring and editing and stuff like that to get it up into audio format, and hopefully have those up by the end of the week. That's my goal. We'll see. I don't know. I'm gonna see what I can do. So stay tuned for that. All my contact information is down below. You guys know where that is. I've gotten some great emails in. I've gotten some great stuff on Facebook and Messenger. I have got a list of things that I'm coming to and stepping up to and handling as far as questions and requests go. So stay tuned. I appreciate the pokes and reminders from those of you that have shouted out to me to say, hey, don't forget about me. Those come in handy. I definitely can get sidetracked and forget that I've got one in the stack that I need to go back and handle. Some of them are a little more involved and take a little time for me to wrap my head around how I want to handle it for a video, because they're, for lack of a better term, more sensitive subjects. And so, I want to do them. I just have to figure out how and what my approach is going to be as far as what I'm comfortable putting on a channel. It's different when you're sitting around a fireside talking with your buddies than if you're going to put it out on an actual channel. So I need to make sure that I've got my ducks in a row for some of those questions. So stay tuned. They're coming. We'll see where all of this goes and where it leads us. So, all right. Today's question in particular is, and I haven't forgotten that I'm going to show the dice bag on channel. I just didn't bring it with me today. I forgot to bring it. It was in my stack of stuff and I just forgot to grab it. So hopefully in the next session, or at least one of the upcoming ones, I can show it on channel, because I like to show off stuff that people send in because they do awesome work, and it's a really cool fur dice bag that is just awesome. So I will definitely show it and definitely use it because I'm excited by it. So anyway, on to today's subject. This is a viewer request from a gentleman named Chris. I'm not going to shout out full name, but Chris wrote in and said that he grew up in a family that was largely Lutheran, and he went to some church services as a youngster and was very disillusioned with his experience there. And he was curious about overcoming what he viewed as kind of a religious blockage. This aversion in his head that kept him from letting over and fully embracing heathenry, at least getting heathenry. And that is a big subject. That's one that comes from a number of angles, and I've seen a number of people have issues with this. There's a lot of conversations about Christian baggage and Christian hang-on, or other religious hang-ons or baggage coming from different worldviews. And people struggle with sometimes how to make that shift. And that's a big thing. So I wanted to go ahead and kind of talk about that a little bit today. When it comes to transitioning, this is very much for the newbie heathens, and a lot of you seasoned heathens out there can give some examples and some insights too. So feel free to jump in comments, feel free to jump in on the Facebook group and have a conversation on it. There's some really good experiential information out there that people can offer as far as how they handled the tradition. Because the fact of the matter is, when it comes down to it, when you're dealing with a significant shift in worldview, it's unique to the individual because it really is a worldview. A lot of people will kind of have issue with the term worldview when it comes to heathenry. But this is true of anything. People find issue with any terminology that you use. It's a pedantic argument in the most. These individuals are arguing the specifics of lexicon and nuances that are... Yeah, I mean, you're arguing with the tree and ignoring the forest. And the bigger picture of it all is the essence behind what they're saying, less than the exact words that they're using for it. But when it comes down to worldview, worldview is a very appropriate terminology when it comes to heathenry, because heathenry does encompass culture, it encompasses religion, it encompasses spirituality. You guys have heard me talk about the three main pillars of heathenry, and I've added the fourth of philosophy. Within the concept of exploring weird and Orlog, because I do feel like this is the heathen philosophy, understanding causality and the nature of reality, questioning what is and how it is and how it functions. It's kind of like the theoretical physics of heathenry, but from a metaphysical, so it's theoretical metaphysics, as it were. The string theory of weird, isn't that a thing? But yeah, the idea here is that heathenry encompasses these four main pillars, and it comprises a view of the world, how you see the world around you. And that is the big thing when it comes to transitioning from one religion or culture to another, is you are experiencing a paradigm shift. You are experiencing a very significant shift in how the world is viewed, especially when you come from like a world-denying religion, such as one of the big book religions, to a world-affirming religion, such as many of the neo-pagan routes and heathenry in particular. And you guys will hear me say heathenry because that's kind of my approach to things, but heathenry also true, however you want to, whatever terminology you want to use to refer to yourself within this space, whatever fits you. The gist is that it is definitely a difference in worldview. It's a difference in approach to ethics, to spirituality, to religion. Now, there's a lot of overlap amongst religions and folkways that are... You know, it boils down to the world is the world, and some of the fundamental elements of how we interact with the world and the way that the world functions are just true. And this is like science is underlying and is universal because atoms are atoms, whether you are in India or the US or Norway or Antarctica. It's the fundamental building blocks of the world are the fundamental building blocks of the world, regardless. And when it comes to religion and worldview, you are looking at a full picture, a gestalt of how the world works, what makes up the world. So understanding things like weird and Orlog and understanding the interaction with the gods and the Vaetir can be very, very different from how other cultures or other religions view the world itself, largely because they see different building blocks for it. That's not an easy thing to overcome when you've been brought up in a system and indoctrinated in a system that says this is the way that it is, and you are beginning to question that. You're beginning to go out and you're beginning to venture and you're beginning to try and explore. So this can create kind of mental blockages. Now, in psychology, it creates what we call cognitive dissonance, which is when stimuli and information entered into the brain does not jive with the pre-existing codex of information that exists therein. So you've got, anytime you have something introduced that does not jive with the brain's accepted view of the world, it creates this dissonance, this discord. And the brain then has to do the mental math to figure out how to fit that in, because this stimuli is now accepted as real. It's there, it's undeniable, it is information that now must be codified into the system. But the problem is the encoding system, based on everything else, has to be amended and rewritten, or the information that's being introduced into the brain has to be codified in such a way that it jives with everything else in the brain. And so we overcome this cognitive dissonance to create homeostasis within the brain, where everything's kind of on an even keel. And so that's the gist that you are experiencing when you're dealing with a shift of religion, shift of worldview. You're dealing with cognitive dissonance tied to a fundamental shift in worldview. One of the issues that you run into when you are, say, choosing to embrace heathenry, and I find a lot of people are kind of in this boat, is they're choosing to embrace heathenry and they may not necessarily understand the why that they are doing it. My stance would be, if you're going to embrace heathenry, you need to embrace heathenry because it's the way you see the world. You need to embrace heathenry because it's what you believe. This helps to reduce that cognitive dissonance. You just accept that this is how you see the world. And that was my case. You know, when I came up with it, this is just how I saw the world. And when I was introduced to other cultures, such as, you know, the big book religions and things like that, I experienced cognitive dissonance because they did not jive with how I saw the world. They did not mesh with how I interacted with the world, or how I viewed the gods, how I viewed spirituality, things like that. It just didn't jive. And so I had to codify all of that within my brain in such a way that it actually worked within my psyche. And ultimately that dealt with rejecting a lot of the doctrine of other cultures, because it just did not jive. It just, no, that's not how the world is. I know that's how you say it is, but that's not how the world is. That's just not how I see it. That's not how I experience it. You know, I experience the web of obligations, the web of weird and Orlog. I see the gods and goddesses in the world around me, and the access that I have to them and the nature of their interactions with me. All of this is just how I see the world. And so for me, embracing heathenry was what I refer to as a homecoming. And a lot of heathens I've experienced have had this particular view, that it was a homecoming. But I'm a different character because I was not brought up indoctrinated in one of the big book religions or some other overarching culture that eschewed heathenry. I was brought up very open and very encouraged to find my own path. So I spent years building my view of the world, and then I discovered heathenry and went, hey, that fits everything that I have established up to this point. Let's delve deeper in that and see if it still jives. Let's dig into the heathen ethics. Let's dig into the religion and spirituality elements of things and see if this still matches how I view, and see if there's something in here that I can find and grow on, see if it makes sense, see if it continues to build for me. And I can tell you that if you are going along and studying heathenry and what you find within heathenry feels right to you, then you're probably going down the right path. This probably is the route for you. And so embrace it. Take your time and get to know it. So I know that's oversimplified. That's not my advice for everything. All right. I know that the question is, how do I get past religious blockage? And the answer to that isn't just let it go and embrace heathenry. Well, I mean it is, but that's not the breakdown of it. The gist of things is that you have to allow, and this we're going to get into the psychology side of things. You have to give yourself permission to believe the way that you believe. You have to step back and say, look, this is not how I see the world, and that's okay. You need to give yourself agency in this. You are making choices, and no one else has any impact on how you view the world. No one else can dictate to you what is reality around you. Only you see that. The reality of your mind and what you see the world as is yours and yours alone. It is unique to your experience. And if you break down to the philosophical level of things, you can't even confirm or deny whether or not another entity exists. The only thing that you can be certain of is that you exist. And therefore, that's your operating point, and you start from there. Now, heathenry is very communal based and everything, so there's a lot of build to that. But you need to figure out in you first before you can really, really be a part of a community. If you're trying to come into heathenry just because you like Vikings and you like Viking related things, then it's going to be more difficult. It's not going to be impossible, but it is going to be more difficult. If you're coming in from an aesthetic standpoint or something like that, or if for some of these individuals that have come in just because they found it to be cool because they watched Vikings or they watched this, that, or the other, or they really liked Norse mythology and they wanted to worship the gods, it's going to be more difficult because that's not necessarily how they frame the world already. If you're operating from a standpoint where you frame the world differently because of the way you were brought up or the way you were indoctrinated as a child, you have some reprogramming to do. And one of the main things that you need to reprogram is the feeling of guilt for believing the way that you believe, because that is a method that is utilized in a number of cultures and religions, is this yoke of guilt that is placed on the individual to keep them in line, as it were, to keep them tied to the core belief structure of that culture. And it's very fear-based. It's very, fear of retribution, fear of loss, and fear of rejection. And you have to find your peace. You need to find your confidence in it and say, it's okay to be me. It's okay to step back and believe the way that I believe. And you're gonna run into individuals within heathenry that are gonna tell you that, you're not doing it right, that you're not real heathen or whatnot. I'm not one of those guys, and I do not ascribe to those mentalities. I'm not one that's going to say there is a right way and a wrong way to do heathenry. Well, there's some wrong ways, but overall, there's not like one right way. There's not one set in stone way to do heathenry. I'm one of those guys that if you are honoring the gods and goddesses, honoring your ancestors, honoring the Vaetir, upholding your obligations within your Frithstead, you're pretty much heathen in my book. I know some individuals who are not heathen that I would codify as heathen simply because they are hitting all of those marks, short of worshiping the gods. I mean, they're basically heathen. They're practically heathen in every way, to crib and bastardize some Mary Poppins, just because it's fun. But yes, the idea here is that you are having to take some time to take the agency and allow yourself the ability to, and the permission to make that change. It really is granting yourself mental permission to let go of previous baggage that you're holding on to and to embrace a shift. And it's scary because you're talking about a fundamental shift in the way you view the world. And it's risky, it's scary, it's a strange thing because it's a big thing. And I find a lot of heathens will do this gradually over time. They don't even realize that they're doing it because they come in with this specific, frequently Americanized, because that's what I deal with the most, but influenced by their region, view of the world that is heavily influenced by the predominant culture and religion of that area. And they find it's a task to overcome the programming that has occurred, even on a secular level. If they're not part of that religion, it's still part of that culture in the area that they're in, and so there are some heavy things to overcome. Even if you didn't come up with the church, if your experience all throughout life has been that religious people worship in a church, then heathenry is going to be a very different thing for individuals like that. It could be a very exciting thing because we're not bound to a church. We do a lot of our stuff outside, and our rituals are different. They're more inclusive and involved, and it's not huge, large scale, it's small scale tribal things. And so it can be very appealing, especially if you are disillusioned with larger religions and the way that they approach things. There's still baggage that comes along even if you're not sitting in the pew every Sunday. I mean, you've seen religion practiced in this way, so the idea that religion can be practiced differently is a weird thing. Plus, there's this whole this element of rejection of the idea of religion because of negative experiences that you've had with a particular religion. Religion doesn't globalize like that. It really doesn't. And one of the things that an individual needs to do if they're looking to convert and embrace a new worldview is recognize that religion isn't a dirty word. And I've said that numerous times, and that still continues to be true. It's a core tenet to my belief structure. Religion is not a dirty word. Religion's a very good thing. Religion simply refers to the way we interact with the sacred, the methodology, the praxis, the elements of how we interact with the sacred and engage in that gift exchange. Even the big book religions still do this, they just do it with different trappings. You know, their method of worship, their method of religious ritual is just a different approach. It's different trappings placed upon the same basic elements of reciprocal obligation and sacrifice. And sometimes it's just the sacrifice of time. Sometimes there's tithing involved. There's a number of ways that they go about it. They will have eschewed a number of pagan or heathen trappings simply because they're attempting to distance from paganism in that respect. But the fundamental elements of religious structure still hold. They're just using different cultural aesthetics. So, allowing yourself first to step back and say, religion's not a bad thing. Religion does, it's not indoctrination. It's not someone telling you, you have to do things this way, you have to do things that way. No, those are specific issues with specific cultures, with specific religions, as far as whether or not they're dogmatic or very, very exacting with their praxis. Those are specific to individual cultures. One of the issues that I find in modern society is this idea of metaculture, the idea that there is a metaculture or even a large-scale culture based on a demographic element. And this is true across all forms of social structures. I find you've seen my videos on false kinship. This kind of falls into that same idea. This assumption that there are necessary ties between individuals just because they share some demographic information. I share no more in common with a heathen on the West Coast or, you know, in Canada or overseas than I do with the Baptist down the road. I just don't. Just because we're both heathen doesn't mean we have any ties whatsoever. Doesn't mean we have any similarities in the way that we go about things. We may. We're more likely to than someone from a different culture, but it doesn't mean that we are of the same culture. That's why I'm big on the don't call me brother, because you have to earn that title. And it's not something that I hand out freely. We're not all of the heathen tribe. Heathens are disparate tribes, and frequently they will band together into larger tribes. But we are not all one people. We are not all one heathenry. We're not all brothers under Odin. That's not how it works. I'm Ridgar. That is my tribe. That is what I am. I am Ridgar. It's actually more appropriate to say my belief structure is Ridgar than it is to say that I am heathen. But I do allow myself that particular globalization for ease of conversation and whatnot. And it is essentially a utilization of heuristics for globalization purposes that we will frequently lump ourselves into labels. The human brain needs to codify and label things in order to function. That's just the way that our brain works. That's how we put things into boxes and associate. It's not always accurate, and it doesn't always serve the nuanced and complex elements of a specific demographic. And that's where we come into prejudices and things like that that are built off of assumptions that are not globalized across this demographic, even though statistically they may seem to be. They may appear to be. You can look at a specific demographic and then break it out geographically, and you will see some significant differences. If you look at heathenry here in East Texas and compare it to heathenry on the West Coast, I know from specific experience that this is very different. A good friend of mine lived over, I don't know if he still does or not, I need to look at his Facebook page and see, lived in California, and he and I would have conversations about the differences in the way that California heathens do their thing versus how we do things in Texas or the Midwest. Now, Texas has a lot more in common with the Midwest as far as how we approach heathenry, even though we're not technically part of the Midwest. Texas is a weird thing. Texas is Texas. We don't belong to the Midwest. We don't get counted in the South, even though we're further south than everything that people count as the Deep South. If you stay on the same latitude as, you know, Alabama, Georgia, all that, I'm on the same latitude. I'm just as south as Alabama, but I don't get counted in the South. So that's because I'm Texan, and Texas is Texas. We're a thing, okay, guys? It's Texas is bigger than most European countries. So, but regionally, you're going to experience differences within specific demographics, and this is true across the board. We're still going to make those assumptions. And so when people try to shift over to heathenry and they experience the shift in worldview, they are trying to fit into a greater demographic that doesn't exist, and it causes issues because they want to be heathen. And they think that just because they shift to heathenry, that they're going to mesh with every other heathen and they can just jump right in. And it's not true. It's not true. Even within Texas, people in South Texas versus East Texas versus West Texas practice heathenry somewhat differently. There are some significant differences. Like South Texas, there's a big presence of Thaism. Not so much up here in East Texas. There's some, but their main epicenter seems to be further south. There is, you know, East Texas is a little bit more along the lines of my approach, but not only mine. There are a couple of heathen individuals I know in the area that do practice things somewhat differently than the way that I do. And that's still within my region. So culture itself is bound to specific cultures. You know, there's not an overarching heathen culture. There's the culture of Ridgar. There is the culture of this other tribe or this other tribe. Each tribe is a culture in and of themselves. And this is to be embraced. This is to be encouraged because each of these cultures comes together and creates a mosaic that we refer to as heathenry. But if you took each one of these individual cultures and they said, this is the way you heathen, then no two tribes would count each other as heathen because no two tribes heathen in the same way. There's some minor to fundamental differences in the way they approach things. It just varies and it depends. I mean, for instance, you know, I will do sumbul with my tribe out around the campfire. Not always, but I do sometimes, and that is because of some... There's a connection there. For me, that is still inner. When I'm out in my front yard around a campfire, I still count that as inner. It's within my property. It's within my bounds. And I do not necessarily see that as being out in the outer, in the open. It's not something that's available for anyone to view. It's still secluded within the boundaries of my established zone. However, I know from speaking with some, like if you take the Thaidish approach, which is, again, another, you know, heavy presence in the southern Texas area, they won't do sumbul outside. They only do sumbul within walls. You know, it's one of those that it very much is an inner thing, and they need the imagery of the walls, the physical barrier, to establish inner versus outer. I have no problem with this, but as a result, a Thaidsman may not actually participate in a sumbul the way that I do it because it doesn't match the way that they do it. This seems like a tangent, but it's really not. When you're dealing with trying to make this shift to a new paradigm, to a new worldview, it's difficult when the worldview that you're trying to shift into varies from tribe to tribe. This is where it gets dodgy. You know, you're talking about a shift, the cognitive dissonance of shifting from a worldview that doesn't even jibe with heathenry at all to heathenry, and then finding within heathenry that there's not one unifying worldview to fall to. There's not a heathen worldview. I have a heathen worldview, but there's not the heathen worldview. I have my worldview. I have the way that I see the world, the way that I see Orlog and Weird interacting, the way that I see the connection to the gods and the goddesses, the way that I see how to interact with the gods and goddesses. I know one person indicated that they had issues in the channel with my view of gods of limited access because it was Thaadish adjacent. And yeah, there are some similarities there. Definitely some similarities there. And I wouldn't deny that. I am not a Thaadsman. I am not of Thaadish belief. But we do have some things in common. So I can see where that wouldn't jive with their particular approach. And the simple fact of the matter is, it's just not how I see the world. I see the world this way. I see the gods as being of limited access. Doesn't mean they're inaccessible at all times, or only accessible during specific periods of time, but access to them is limited. And you guys can go back and watch my Gods of Limited Access videos to kind of get a better view on my approach to all of that. But essentially, what I'm getting at here is that the regional differences and the tribal differences of tribal cultures, let alone the hearth culture differences, can make shifting over and letting go of religious baggage very difficult, because you can't fully embrace what you're shifting to when there's not one set unifying thing, and everybody wants there to be because it makes it easier. Sorry guys, it's not easier. It's not, there's not a breakdown little pamphlet that you can look at and say, this is the heathen worldview. That's not the way it works. The problem is that the cultures that many of them are coming from have a code book that specifically says, this is the worldview of this religion. This is the worldview of this culture. And so they come from a world where there's literally a guidebook. There is literally a guidebook to a world where there is not. Because that's not the way heathenry grew up. Organically, heathenry grew from individuals having a view of the world around them and built from worldview into culture, into religion. It did not grow from doctrines and dictates of an individual being passed out and saying, this is how it is. This is what you need to do to be a part of this religion, to be a part of this culture. I'm sorry guys, there's not. You cannot go and find the heathen code book that's going to tell you this is how you heathen. It doesn't exist. It cannot exist. If it did, it would not be heathenry. It would not be true to the nature of the gods and the goddesses. So when it comes down to breaking through religious baggage and everything, it's one, allowing yourself the opportunity, saying it's okay to make the shift, and two, taking your time to get to know you, taking your time to get to know how you view the world. Focus on hearth culture first. And then you will find this breakdown in religiosity, this religious blockage, will start to erode over time. My number one recommendation is just do it. Get out there and do it and go through the practice and find out what works for you. Establish and discover that connection, because it is new. You're learning a new language. You're learning to see a new thing, a new world. And I highly recommend active practice in doing this. And it will take time. And this is something that we'll come back to in some future videos, I think. This is more than I want to tackle in just one single video. This is turning out to be a longer one, and I need to step away and handle a few things. But hopefully this is a good starting point, and then we can come back to some aspects of releasing religious baggage and overcoming this religious blockage. Chris, if you've seen this video, please message me back and let me know if this helped hit any of the marks for you. I would really like some feedback on this one. And guys, please jump in there and give some examples on how you helped overcome your own religious blockage and religious baggage. Again, my big things are get to know yourself and give yourself permission to explore and say it's okay that I don't view the world the way everybody else does. It's okay for me to step outside of that and to be me. And then from that standpoint, once you've empowered yourself with the agency to do it, going on and exploring your views and really figuring out where you stand. So hopefully that helps. Hail to you all. Thank you. May your hearth fires burn bright. There we go. Got it rolling. Cool. All right. So updates on everything. Life is rocking along. Still working the two jobs and kicking it up here at the shop. So I am doing the whole, you know, sales clerk by day and janitor by night. Hey, it works. It makes ends meet. But life is good. Life is rocking along. weather's been wonky as all get out here in Texas, but I'm gathering it's that way pretty much everywhere. D&D's rocking along fine. Doing a lot of work on prepping for future sessions. I got a brand new copy of the Creature Codex by the Kobold Press, which if you guys haven't looked into Kobold Press, their stuff is fantastic. And you can actually still use the D&D Beyond stuff with the Kobold Press stuff. I just go in and do Homebrew Monster, and then I add in literally everything from, I just copy it over from the Creature Codex into D&D Beyond. They also have the Tome of Beasts too, which is another huge compendium of creatures. Highly recommended if you're looking to expand your creature base for the game beyond just what's in there as far as the core material, which there's tons of stuff in the core material. But there's some really cool additions from Kobold Press that I love working in, and add some variety and some nuance to some of the creatures that comes in handy. So highly, highly recommend it. I'll have more updates as we get to go further in. We haven't had another session yet, but the next one's going to be a big exposition dump, and then I'm going to let them loose on all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be, what they've been up to right now has been basically the prelude. It's been a little more railroady, and then once we get through the exposition dump, I'm going to open them up open world style, and they're going to have access to pretty much everything in the world and do whatever they want. And I'm kind of terrified of it because I don't know what they're going to do or where they're going to go or what they're going to pursue. And I've got in-depth storylines for all of the side plots and things like that planned out. That's a lot of work. I do a lot of prep for my world. It's very immersive, and I probably do too much. Realistically speaking, probably don't need to do nearly as much as I do, but I like it. I enjoy it. So I put a ton of work into it, and it's kind of an outlet for me, kind of creative outlet. I need to be writing on a book, but I, through this transition with job and everything, I just haven't been in the headspace to do it yet. I've got the idea. I need to sit down and put together the outline and everything for it, and then start hammering away at it, and I will. I'm getting to a point now where I think I can tackle some of that, so I'm going to start progression on that, but it's going to be a long process. This isn't going to be a quick write on the book. It's going to be a much bigger project than the last one, and I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be good. Hopefully, at least I think it will be. Everybody that I've pitched the idea to so far has liked it, so we shall see where that goes. Hopefully it goes in the right direction, so we shall see. Appreciate everybody sticking with me too for the weird wonky schedule lately. It's just been nuts, and with work, and then last week was Memorial Day and all that stuff, which just kind of cut into my ability to film and shoot and edit and all that stuff. So I greatly appreciate your understanding. You guys have been fantastic, and I've got a lot of really good write-ins, so fantastic. I guess without any further ado, we'll go ahead and jump into the episode, since I don't have a whole lot for the postscript today. So all right, here we go. We're live in 3, 2, 1. Let's jam.